Some of you might have been saying, maybe it won't come on. Here we go. In a little tiny book with a great big message. And it's a little book of Jude. Jude. And it's very relevant. It's tough. Ends up good. Starts tough. Again, so it, and then it ends, all right. And it's got just three basic phases to it. It's a little tiny book. And it's, I tie this watching and believing, and we have a warning, and then we have the solution, and then we have the reward and the glory. Can't beat that. But in the meantime, pretty tough. And it pertains to what's going on. I am very, more and more, very strongly convinced that many, if not most of the problems that we're having in this country, in this world today, it's not just one person or a group of persons in office. It's the failure of the church to stand on God's word. The prominent leaders, if you want to call them that, I don't know what other term to use. The standouts in church ministry today, who have the largest, biggest, and they're the richest, do nothing to stand up publicly against the evil in our country. I just saw a movie that involved one who, and from California, they have now a movie involving a book he wrote. It's about a woman. I saw this on my info thing on TV, and it was playing last night. And it's the story of a woman taken captive, and she survives being a captive because she read this guy's book. And this guy's supposed, he's a pastor out there. It wasn't, she didn't survive because she read the Word of God. She survived because she read his book. It's like, wow, you're out there in California, produce a movie that promotes your book. Cool. Sell your book instead of the Bible. And, you know, it's true. I mean, how far is this going to go? And you hear these people, and they bring, if you want to call it, preaching a message. And you it's all about, you know, we know all this. Feel good. You can do this. God purposed you to come and do this. And you're how great you are. Instead of saying, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and our righteousness is filthy rags before the Lord. You won't hear that. You won't hear that we have responsibility to stand and do our part. And then at the end of the it just grieves me. At the end of the so-called message, then you hear, we invite you to ask Jesus in your heart. Why don't you preach that out there to all those people? I know it sounds like once in a while I'm railing on people. You know why? Because once in a while I'm railing on people. Because we need Christian influence. We need God's leaders to have what it takes in Christ to stand up and say, no, sir, we're not going to allow ourselves to be dictated to. This is a free country, and we're going to stay that way. And we would protect our brethren over there. They may be wayward, and they are, and because of that, Christianity came to the Gentiles. But they're our wayward brethren, and they're God's chosen, and God's Spirit's going to return to them one of these days, and me better be in prayer for the salvation, peace, protection of Israel. And I don't see that in our leadership standing up doing anything because they don't want to take the hits. And I hear this, and I know one in particular said he's not going to ever preach on anything controversial. Well, then what are you going to preach on? Jesus Christ was the most controversial figure in our history. He had opposition every day of his life. Did he not? People hated him, and people loved him, but he was controversial. So what do you mean you're not going to stand up and preach on anything controversial? If you say the name Jesus is controversial, is it not? Read John 15. He goes through all this good stuff, and then, but the latter part, he says the world will hate you because it hated me, and if it does, so what? Then we get into Jude, and he starts talking about a lot of this stuff. You say, I think you're aggravated about what's going on. I am very concerned. If you want to call it aggravated, I'm aggravated. That we're allowing our world to get in such a condition. And whether they liked him or not, I remember back in the bad old Cold War days. and Reagan standing up and saying to the, you know, cross the many miles, tear down that wall. He didn't get to see it, but it started the process. And the next president saw that wall come down. But there was a religious, a Christian organization pushing that. Pushing at the time. If you go back and look, Christians raised their voice and they were hated, but they got a job done. And friends, right now we need that. There's a lot of blowhard people out there making a ton of money on God's time, but they're not giving God the glory. You with me? And you say, wow, is this a message to rail on that? No, that's what this is about. I'm about to read you. I've got to read a little bit. It's a New Testament. It's in the New Testament. Of course, Jude's in the New Testament. I'm sure everybody reads Jude every day. It's right before Revelation, if that'll help you find the little book. It's just Jude, verse 20, 14 through 25. There's no other chapters. It's so dinky. But the message is far from dinky. So let me read. He's now, and I wanted to catch you up because he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction of all them and people railing against dignitaries. And you read all this. I just couldn't fit in anymore. And then this is too much of the time we have. But he says, you know, these are people are spotting your love feast and they're ravaging sea. And he said, there's evil people out there, folks, and they're in churches. And then he picks up with verse 14, and that's where we grab it. He said, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, and you don't read about all this, but he prophesies about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all. You need to hear that. God's coming with his angels, and he's going to execute judgment. And it concerns me. Because a lot of people who say they're Christians aren't. We can't judge that, but we can look at their fruits and by their fruits know them. Don't be fooled just because somebody says, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. I pray." Well, where are your fruits? Are you out here? You preaching? You teaching? You ministering? You witnessing? You doing things to help other people? What are you doing? That's what you look at. And Jesus said, "You can look at that. By their fruits, you will know them." And he says he's going to execute judgment on all. He's going to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words. Flattering people to gain advantage. Boy, do we see a lot of that, right? Do we see a lot of Christian so-called leadership flattering people to gain advantage? There's no greater flattery than to tell someone else, you are so great. God put you here to accomplish great things through you. You're going to win the lottery next Sunday. Well, maybe they don't go quite that far, but that's what I'm hearing in the midst of all that crud. And they flatter people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, you and me. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Every church, if it's been around long enough, has seen this problem and had to deal with it in one way or another. People that are mockers and they walk according to their own ungodly lust. They talk a good talk, but at the same time, they're sensual persons and they cause divisions because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Which if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have Christ. Because you received the Holy Spirit when you asked Jesus Christ in your heart. Repent of your sins and ask Jesus in your heart. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Don't worry, I'm going to wrap this through as quick as I can and get into the notes. And on some, he says, have compassion, making a distinction. But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And I just have to ask the questions. It's not, because I didn't really build that. God just didn't leave me to build that so much into the message, but it's all there. How many people have you gone to pull out of the fire lately? That means how many people have you sat down with and said, buddy, if you keep on this road right here, you're going to destroy yourself, your family, and everybody else around you. And I'm coming to appeal to you, trying to pull you out of the fire because hell is burning at your feet. Why don't we get that blunt, that straight with people to save their lives and save their souls? Now, hear this. We tiptoe around. My goodness, we haven't lost the 60s, have we? Tiptoe through the tulips. Don't offend anybody. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Listen, you better hurt some feelings out there or they're going straight to hell. I mean it. This is serious. It's time not to jump on people and judge them, but to sit down with them and say, this what you're doing, these drugs you're taking, this alcohol you're drinking too much of, this lifestyle you're living. You know I'm not here to judge you, buddy. I've been the same place, but Jesus Christ brought me out, and I'm here because I care enough about you, love you enough to say this is going to send you straight into hell, and it's going to cause hell for everybody around you. So we got to knock it off. Let's get treatment. Let's get to Christ and get help. That's what we're talking. Pull them out of the fire. Okay. Now to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless. You hear that? We're going to talk about that in a minute. To God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before His presence, the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Isn't this a great book? You say, that doesn't sound so great to me. That's some rough stuff. So let's grab it real quick. There's the warning. He says, the Lord is coming. What's the warning? Come in judgment. And He says, the Lord is coming to judge and convict people of their ungodly acts. So let's lay it down here. He said, you know, we in Christ, Jesus took our judgment. He took our punishment. But are there ungodly acts in your life right now that you need to give to God and say, this is ungodly behavior? What I'm doing is not in the Scripture. And I'm not saying there's anybody has it. I'm saying you got to ask yourself, Christians, we need to be confronted. I have to myself. Tony, is there anything ungodly about you? I got upset about this Israeli thing. I got upset that they're using our own equipment against Israel. We left just tons and tons of this stuff. And my anger started just building up. And it's like, what kind of a... And I'm going, and it's like, God just really had to get a hold of me. Tony, stop. It's happened. Now you got to double down. You're going to have to get serious in prayer. There's nothing worse than leaving weapons to the enemy on the battlefield and they're using them against you. It's bad enough when they use their own stuff against you, but when you give them the things to shoot yourself with. But then again, if we bring it home, how many weapons do we give the devil and his people to shoot us with? How many times have we given the devil enough ammo to take us out? I told a person just a while back, and I'll say it to you. Don't talk so much. I said, you talk too much. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you can't have conversations. Quit giving people ammo about your past. Confess it to God. Use it as a testimony. But man, listen, don't give the enemy ammo. There's some things in everybody's lives here that are to be between you and God. Don't put it on Facebook. You say, well, we know better. You'd be surprised what's out there. No, you wouldn't. I would be. You wouldn't. You see it, don't you? I don't have Facebook. The church has a Facebook page. I don't have Facebook. I don't want it. I don't want to be involved in all that. Besides, I don't want everything I talk about and all to be recorded by some agency, especially by the Chinese Communist Party. I'm just saying it like it is, friends. And TikTok, stay off of TikTok. If you don't, you're going to pay the price. Cell phone too. There is a giant Cray Computers in Fort Meade, Maryland that's looking for keywords. Can they do that? Billions of bits of information come across that place daily. So if you're mad and thinking that you need to say the words, you know, kill, assassinate, don't. You're just saying it in anger, but that computer doesn't know that. Okay, just telling you. Just letting you know. So let's look at this. Ungodly acts. Every one of us in here are guilty once in a while of an ungodly act, aren't we? Can you drive on the highway long enough without committing an ungodly act? Okay. Yeah. All right. And he says, ungodly, ungodly words. Ungodly words. Has anybody spoken any ungodly words lately? No. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm with you. last night I was looking at all those things flying through the air and over there, and before you get home today, and that person goes around you, which I'd love to do on 10, and I guess they do it down there, and I keep talking about it. I can't stand it. You got a whole highway in front of you. Why do you go around and then just cut right in front of my front bumper? Why? And I tend to want to say things to them. They can't hear me, but I feel so much better to tell them what their mother should have done with them when they were little. And just telling somebody, you know, you should have been flushed down the toilet. You know, that's not a nice thing to be saying to anybody, not even thinking to yourself. And he says there's grumblers and fault finders. He's coming to judge that. God doesn't like grumbling and finding fault. Listen to me. One of the things that has just emptied churches out, and why Jesus is not as popular as he used to be, and why churches are just, you know, they're losing membership except for these feel-good places. Why? Because internally, too many churches have too many grumblers and fault finders. And let me just get down to the nitty-gritty. The reason people go around finding fault with others is because of their own stinking guilt. You know you have trash in your life, and dirty minds look for dirty things, and holy minds look for holy things. So, if you're going to gossip about me, better watch it. God's listening. And I've had a tendency, I went on the radio one time. Can't believe I did this. I do a radio message broadcaster once in a while. And some people had been saying some ugly things in another town about me. And I went on there. And I was bringing the message and something came over me. This is a radio broadcast. Can you believe this? And suddenly I stopped and I said, and it was, I don't know, it was on this kind of thing, and not this exact passage. But anyway, to tell you, well, I don't know what came over me. Maybe it's that old military background. I don't know. Maybe it's too much cabbage. And I said, and by the way, for those who want to gossip, and I've been understanding there's some gossip going on about me, I said, I know who you are. And when I see you on the street in your town, when I meet you on the sidewalk, you're not going to get by me. I'm going to stop you and confront you, so you be looking for me. This went out on the radio. They didn't let me do another broadcast for over a year. They really didn't. And it's like, I remember the all the people there, and there was a little audience, and they were just, their mouths were open. I meant every word of it. You want to talk about me, talk to me. You got a problem, talk to me. That's the way you should be in your life. You don't have to be mean about it, but hey, you got an issue, bring it to Papa. Yeah. And if you don't, if you can't bring it to me, it's not worth, then you shut up. Is that a nasty word? It's a good one, though. Just shut up. Anyway, so he talks about this, and he says they're grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast and they flatter others for personal gain. You ever do that? You ever flattered somebody because you wanted something from them? You don't have to raise a hand. We've probably all done it, right? How many of you have ever flattered your partner just because you wanted something that... Oh, yeah. Oh, you're experienced with that, are you? Okay. Oh, my goodness. And fault finders. Grumblers, by the way, the grumblers. They use this word grumblers in here. Did you know what it actually referred to in the Greek? It's an interesting translation in the Greek. It says the word that was used for grumblers was rebels teaching their own view of God, Christ, and Christianity. Well, that's what a grumbler, you know, a person is grumbling and griping, but it said what you're really doing, that's what the Greek was saying, you're teaching your own view of who God is, how Jesus is, Christianity is. You're showing that God's a grumbler. See, everything that we do in our lives represents Him. We're His ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. And the fault finders literally means a critical attitude, habitual complaining. Oh my goodness. Now let me ask you something. Is anybody in here a habitual complainer? No. But you, oh, thank you, ma'am. You're so honest. Bless your little cotton picking heart. Yeah, and he's saying God doesn't, he's not going to kill you for it, but he said, I'm coming to confront these things. I don't want these people, you doing this in the church. I don't want you doing it in your home. I want you to find the positive way. Don't be a fault finder, don't be a grumbler. Don't be doing all these, you know, why are you letting that happen? And he's saying, get over it, let it go. Don't be a fault finder and habitual complaining, having a critical... Is anybody here just struggling with a critical attitude anymore? Oh, you know, we'll have lunch one of these days, okay? Yeah, let's visit. You're so honest, you know. She's really fun to talk to. We go eat every once in a while, and I can't eat for laughing. Yeah, and you never know. One thing I enjoy lunch with this couple right here, and Clank Brene, you never know what they're going to say. Sometimes I don't blush till I get in the truck. No, they're fun. I enjoy them. But thank you for your honesty. That's just so honest. But, you know, and they follow their own evil desires. And what that means in the Greek, following your own evil desires, I'm giving you all these translations. It's kind of a teaching message, too. It means that you... When you follow your own evil desires, you're living by passion, not by faith. You're living by your emotions. You're giving in to whatever you feel at the moment, and that's the worst thing to do ever with anything. Then we have the solution. And we read this a while ago, and here's the solution. It's faith in God's love, and that's what he said. If you want, he said, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. He said, if you want to beat these things that I'm going to come and judge the people for. And by the way, don't think that there's not some problems here, issues. God's not going to judge you to hell, but God will confront you with this stuff before Jesus comes, and he'll convict you of it if you're doing it in your life. And so he says, here's the solution. You know, he said, I want you to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. He said, you're going to have to put faith before grumbling and griping and man and have faith. Have faith. Faith in my love, faith in God's love, which carries with it mercy and grace. So he says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. And that means, how do you do that? Here it is. Here's some how-to. You can add to this on your own as God leads you, but here's how to build yourself. You ever wonder when you hear something like that, you read it? It says, building yourself up in your most holy faith. You ever ask God or ask somebody, how do you do that? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. It means fellowship. Having fellowship with the Lord and His people. It means you spend time with God. You enjoy His presence. You ask Him, what's your will today? What do you want me to do? What do you not want me to do? Who do you want me to see? Who do you not want me to see? And you get with his people. You know, listen to me. One of the problems we have with people is we don't accept them as people. We have expectations. This is the way they're supposed to talk to me and act in front of me. Why don't you just let them be who they are? Instead of putting conditions down in relationships and friendships. I've had people say to me, Tony, I wish I had a friend that's like you. And I've even had this said to me. I wish, you know, are you interested in a relationship? Because a guy like you, and I'm thinking, a guy like me that you see up here preaching the word, and do you think I'm the same like this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Do you think my hair's always brushed out and my teeth are always cleaned? Do you think I don't get rowdy? I do. You know, I came from a rough background, have a rough military background. What do you think? And it's like, yeah, you think that old boy you see up there and he's got the right words and the good. Oh, yeah. And do I try hard to live it? Oh, yeah. Do I do it all the time? Oh, no. It's the truth. And none of these pretty boys you see on TV do it either. And I'm not doing it as an excuse, making an excuse, but there are just some things that aggravate. I got so aggravated with my cell phone deal. First cousin runs over it. You know, you go help him load his feed, then he runs over your cell phone. Yeah, hope you're listening today. So I called to get a new phone, and you know about this. I'm locked down. We'll give you a temporary little phone using that SIM card to work, but you're locked down because AT&T had this big breach. So I'm locked down. I can't get my phone. We'll send you a phone. I got a phone. But we can't get it activated because you're locked down. You're one of those accounts that was compromised. And I said, why me? This is the girl on the phone, right? Why me? She said, "Well, it's your birth date and your social security number. There's something with that, and you got locked down." I said, "Oh, so you don't like old people? Is that it? You don't want any older people in here? You're afraid I'll die and not pay for the phone?" I did. Wasn't that sweet? This is the pastor. The guy everybody, you know, it's, oh, somebody like him. No, you don't. No, you don't. I got a hold of myself. I, you know what got me? There's Cousin Eddie, and he's standing there, and he's looking at me like, whoa. I saw the look on his face. I thought, okay, Tony, back off. But it did aggravate me, and especially when, you know, your birthday and all that ties into. I thought, oh, what's this lockdown got to do with my birthday? You're afraid I'll croak before the phone's paid for. Got it. Well, I'm not going to. I work out. I try to eat right. And by golly, you know something, and I'm going to say this to all of you. This isn't exactly the message, but I'm put in here anyway. If you have a positive, faithful outlook that I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to let people call me old, and I'm not going to act old, I'm going to get out there and get it as long as God says get out there and get it. And you may have some things wrong with you right now, and you can't get out there, but you can be active in your mind. You keep reading. You keep talking. You keep doing what God, where you are, where you're at, you give it your best shot. Swing for the fence. I never was one. Tony's not going to try to hit a single. I'm not going to try to put it down the line. I just swing. I was a pitcher, so I didn't get all the batting practice everybody else did, but I get up there and I look good. Struck out a lot because they didn't want you running the bases anyway. But back to this. So the solution, you have fellowship with God and His people, and you continue in the gospel. Listen, friends, just because you read this yesterday doesn't mean you don't need to read it today. You read it and you read it and you pray over it and you learn new things. You hear me preach on passages you've heard the passage before, but a total different message. That's because of greater and deeper insights. Never assume that you've got it whipped. Never assume that you know this book. It knows you, but you don't know it. And every time you go back, just like this book of Judah, I preached on it some time ago. It's been years. Come back to it, and what do you know? God's just showing, whoa, look, Tony, this is their time right now. Man, get this out of your life. You got to double down. You got to do what? You don't have to stay in the gospel. Stay in the Word of God. You have to stay with it and never, never stop. You continue in worship. And let me say this to you. There's jobs and things that nobody can come every Sunday. You just can't. But never, ever allow the world or life or family or friends to be an excuse not to come worship. It's not coming to church. It's coming to worship God together. And I know, and you know, a number of people, they just come and have the token worship thing. Well, you know, certain holidays and stuff. Friends, God's not impressed. And it's in His Word. Man, you have got to grow in your faith. And here's the solution to faith is faith in God's love. And you're going to have to continue in worship. Hebrews says, do not forsake worshiping together. Do not. If you've gotten careless with Jesus, with His Word, the attitude towards worship, gotten careless with grumbling and complaining. Hey, that doesn't mean that you don't call out something that's wrong. What we did in Afghanistan was wrong. Call it what it is, but don't sit there and dwell and gripe and complain about it. Pray about it. Now, pray in the Holy Spirit. If you ever ask yourself, what the world does that mean? How do you pray in the Holy Spirit? Here we go. All believers have God's Holy Spirit. Everybody agree with that? When you ask Jesus in your heart, He gives you His Holy Spirit. But you, that, praying in the Holy Spirit, listen to this. This is what it means. It means I pray according to the Spirit's will as I see it revealed in God's Word. Meaning, today God might lead you to go to Jude. He may lead you to 1 John. He may lead you, and you look at that and you pray those scriptures. Lord, You have put in Your Word, this is the prayer I'm praying today. I'm praying Your Word. As the Holy Spirit has led me to this passage or to this verse, I pray it in the name of Jesus. What better thing to pray than pray the Word of God? Then you know your prayer is accurate. Praying in the Spirit means I pray according to the Spirit's will as revealed in God's Word. I pray, it means you pray according to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You pray as He leads you to pray. You know, you're just going along and suddenly maybe you're watching a TV show and you just get a passage on your mind. Or you just get, it's just something that, and you don't know what, turn it off and do it and turn it back on. You do it. Some, you may be going down the highway and suddenly you can pray with your eyes open. Maybe it's an intense double down prayer and pull the car over. First place you get, put it out and start praying. And you can say to God, God, I don't know what I'm praying for. I mean, I just felt that I needed to have time with You. Then just have time with Him. And it might be that He just wants you to have an act of obedience in that moment. And whatever it is, do it. Do it safely, but do it. And when somebody makes you mad going down that highway, what's the real honest to God thing to do? That's right. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Why can't we learn to say more? None of us are perfect, but more. Thank You, God, for that little test right there, and I didn't lose it. Victory today in Jesus' name. That's where He wants you. Just those little things add up to great big victories. Man, they really do. Pray according to the prompt. So you pray in the Holy Spirit. And you pray with love. You can say to God, I hate that sin. I hate what's happening in Israel. But God, give me the heart not to hate people. I don't know about you, but I've gotten to where I hate politics, period. But I've got to be careful not to hate the politician. That's tough, isn't it? What a test. We got to close and then wrap it up right here. And he says, keep yourselves in God's love and in His mercy. It's all out of His Word. Keeping yourselves in God's love and mercy. Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. How in the world do you do that? The whole realm of God's love is found in Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to keep myself in God's love, leading to mercy, then I live in Christ. I stay present in Christ. You know what that means? Bring your salvation forward, and every day let it be that salvation experience new in your life. The problem with so many Christians and so many churches today, right this morning, is this. They were saved years ago, and their relationship with Christ is stuck there. They don't bring that forward with the joy of the Lord is my salvation. You've got to be present with Christ. Not, you know, somebody said, you know, tell me about your salvation. Well, up 10 years ago. No. That should be coming forward. That should be growing you. That should be leading you towards heaven. That should be a present reality. Oh, I was saved. I am saved. I'm not going to be saved. I'm living in the present with it, but I'm looking forward to the future. Salvation is past, present, and future. Jesus brought me into this kingdom. I'm looking forward to living in it right now. I'm bringing this kingdom on earth. And then one day I get to go to the kingdom and the place prepared for me. So you live in the presence of your salvation day after day after day. And it grows and it grows and it grows. You weren't just saved back then. You're saved now. And you're saved for the future. So live in it. Ask God. Bring it forward. Keep it coming. Jesus said in John 15:10, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Then he says you can ask what you want, and it'll be given to you. Now, that'd be a nice reason to abide, wouldn't it? If you move just a little bit from Christ, you'll start following your own passions and desires just like that. It's done. Abide in Him. Stay in Him. You must not allow yourself to be moved. And listen, from God's love. And let me tell you how it can happen. You can get mad at what's happening in Israel. You can get mad at what's happening in Afghanistan. You can get mad at what's happening wherever. And anger is already the step away from God's love. You're being led away. Don't allow it. Confess it every time you see it. And then there's the reward and the glory. He says, if you do this, if you hang in there like this, God is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to present you to Himself faultless. Do you see this stuff? Are you hearing what God's saying? The reward and the glory, no amount of works will get you to heaven. Only the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? No works, no special prayers will get you there. Only the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does Ephesians say? By grace I am saved, through faith. This not of myself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's in Ephesians 2. Read it. God has the power to bring us safely to Himself through our faith in Jesus Christ. And He can keep you from falling or stumbling. Oh, you'll trip over things, but He won't let you smack that hard. And God will present you before His own self, His glorious self, His presence through Christ, our sacrificial lamb. And what does that mean? When God looks at you, friends, He doesn't see dirty rags. He sees His righteousness through Jesus Christ. He looks at the blood of Jesus when He looks at our heart. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. God looks at Tony and He doesn't say, Tony, your past, what happened yesterday, what happened up 10 years ago, what happened to you, what you did to others. It's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the blood of Jesus, my Son, and I'm looking at the righteousness, my Son, has given to you, son. You get up there and preach and teach that word as imperfect as you are, because you're imperfect as a person, but to me, you're my kid, and I love you as only a father can love a sinful child. You can do nothing to make me stop loving you, so keep after it. Do your duty. Answer your calling. He presents you without fault because his blood, the blood of Jesus, brings me before him clean and pure and holy without blemish. I'm like the lamb that's offered. I'm clean. I'm pure. God, I can't get over it. We know ourselves, but we don't know ourselves like God knows us. We don't see ourselves like God sees us. Though my sins were as scarlet, now they're white as snow. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Everybody can say that, right? Amen. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the little book of Jude with so much power in it. Go forth today. Go out this week and be who God put you here to be and remember these things. Stay on track. Don't be pulled off in any way. Father, thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for praying in the Spirit, standing in your love, for being who we're supposed to be. And it all amounts to the end, to this, that it brings honor and glory to you. And that's what we're here to do, and that alone. So all honor and glory to you in this message, in the prayers, this day, every day. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.